ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Maybe we're lacking that power. Maybe we need to get recharged. How do we get recharged? You surrender to God. You be in His Word. You be in fellowship. You just love the Lord. You ask God, Lord, empower me to have a boldness to speak forth your word that I've never had before. Will he do it? Absolutely. That's the whole point of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, is to move the gospel message forward. And sometimes we let fear or other things get in our way. And I'll tell you, when you have that joy, you just rejoice in the Lord. Paul talked about it so much in Philippians when he was in jail in Rome. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How could you do that, Paul? Paul was surrendered to God. He knew that no chains could hold back the word of God. In fact, when he was in prison that first time, the whole palace guard, they were getting saved. Not only that, but other Christians saw the boldness of Paul. They were on fire for the Lord. Yeah, it just encourages everyone. Continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul, in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, puts it very clearly what we're to focus on, what we're to fill our lives with. Because, you look at the things of this world and, wow, it can get really, really discouraging. You see all these things going on. Let me say this, and this is just a little side note. I won't charge you extra for this. We hear of all this stuff going on. We hear of this coronavirus, right? It's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Everyone, don't panic, right? Do you realize there's more people that die of the flu than die from the coronavirus? What are they doing? Again, sorry, I'm getting off track here. I'll get back on in a minute. In China, remember all the protests that were going on? Isn't it interesting that the streets are cleared now that this pandemic has started? And they're making people fearful. Stock markets crashing around the world. Well, why didn't they crash for the flu? Hey, I'm a survivor. I survived mad cow disease, Zika virus, bird flu. I survived them all. Those were all big things. Killer bees. Remember killer bees? I survived that too. It stirs the people up, makes them very anxious, very worried, and they look to the government to help them. I don't know. You know what I do? I read the Word of God, where Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Right? Even if the coronavirus is horrible, I'm resting in him, right? That's just it. Surrender to the Lord, be empowered by Him, focus on the things of God that will build you up. And you know what? Our witness will be seen by others as we'll have that joy of the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to rejoice also. It doesn't mean that they're going to get saved just because they see us, but it gives them an opportunity to see the difference in our lives because of what Jesus has done. So let the whole world know about God through your witness of Him. Back in Judges, you never thought I'd get back there, but we are. Look at verses 4 and 5 of Judges 5. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured, the clouds also poured water, the mountains gushed before the Lord. This Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. In these verses, the point I want to bring out is remember and see. And I've said this often, but I think it's important for us to understand if we want to have a correct perspective of things and have the confidence to walk by faith. We need to remember what God has done in the past to give us assurance in the present. When Deborah and Barak, what they're doing here, is they look back at the children of Israel receiving the law on Mount Sinai, how God delivered them through their wilderness wanderings and the victories he had given them in the past. One writer put it like this. He said, Adam Clark, he put, when thou wentest out of Seir, here is an allusion to the giving of the law and the manifestation of God's power and glory at that time. And as this was the most single display of his majesty and mercy, in behalf of the forefathers, Deborah very properly begins her song with a commemoration of this transaction. Absolutely. You know, here's the thing. God did this wonderful thing for them, right? And yet, in spite of all that God did, in spite of the victories God gave them, in spite of God providing for them, in spite of everything, they kept forgetting God. How can they do that? I mean, isn't that hard to believe? How do you forget God? Well, think about this. God brought them out of the bondage that they were in Egypt. He brought them to the Red Sea. Yeah, the Egyptians came after them to bring them back into captivity. God said, you're not going back. I'm bringing you through. And God brought them through into the land of Canaan, not back into bondage. And they forgot about God. You see, here they are at the Red Sea. They saw no way out of it. How are we going to get through the Red Sea? How are we going to get away from the Egyptians with this massive army that's coming against us? We don't even have weapons. And they grumbled. And they forgot about God. And what did God do? He delivered them. He opened up the Red Sea. The children of Israel passed through on dry ground. The Egyptian army is now into the Red Sea, and the waters come crashing down. Every one of them drowns, even Pharaoh. And Moses sings a song of praise and thanksgiving unto God. As the horse and the rider, they're thrown into the sea. And they remembered God only to forget about God. What do I mean? Moses, there's no water for us to drink. Moses, we don't have any food. Moses, there's no meat for us to eat. There's no this, there's no that. And God provided water for them in the desert. He provided manna or bread from heaven for them to eat, even provided them meat. And they remembered God only to forget God again. God brought them to the border of the promised land. They could see it. They sent spies into the land to check it out. And 10 of the 12 spies came back and said, the land is great, but... It's a huge but. You see, there were giants in the land. The cities were fortified. They were like grasshoppers to the Canaanites. What happened? They forgot about God. You see how easy this is? God had given them the land. All they had to do was walk by faith. But they let the circumstances cause them to complain and grumble and not walk by faith, but to remain in the wilderness. There were two spies, Joshua and Caleb, remember the promises of God and tried to encourage the nation to go forward. But the children of Israel were determined not to go because they forgot about God and what he promised them. And we can go on and on, but before we're too harsh on the children of Israel, because it's so easy to do, right? I mean, we look at some of the things that they do and go, oh, how could you do that? And God says, look in the mirror. I hate when he does that, right? We forget about God when we're in situations that we see no way out. When we see no hope in it. Lord, what's going to happen? How are we going to deal with this? And I'm sure we've all been there. Maybe some of you are in that situation right now. And you've kind of forgotten about God. Because now you're looking at the situation. And you refuse to walk by faith. Trusting in his promises. And it can happen. It's so easy. You know, one writer put it like this. He said, we live in a funny age. Some people still have telephone landlines, but they mostly use them to call their cell phone because they've forgotten where they left it. I laugh at that. That's hilarious. And they need the cell phone because it has an app that helps them find their car keys, for they've forgotten where they put their car keys. This kind of forgetfulness is largely due to being busy, distractive, and inattentive. Though such forgetfulness is often a forgetfulness of things, it can easily become a forgetfulness of people. We forget that we are supposed to pick some people up because we got so busy and distracted. We forgot that we were supposed to meet someone for dinner because we were inattentive and didn't realize what time it was. This kind of forgetfulness can also lead to the forgetfulness of God. We may sometimes find ourselves in the middle of a church service where our attention is supposed to be on God and his word, but instead we suddenly realize that we've been stewing over the argument that we had before church and we haven't heard a thing that the pastor has said. I remember one time I fell particularly hard into this kind of forgetfulness. It was in an evening service attended by a relatively small number of people. We had sung the opening hymn, and the pastor asked us to sit down and close our hymnals. Then he asked us about the content of the hymn we had just sung. no one could call it to mind. We had sung along on autopilot, forgetting where we were, what we were doing, and whom we were allegedly worshiping. We had forgotten, in fact, God. And it's so easy to do, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, we come into church sometimes and our minds are going 240. We're thinking about all kinds of things that are going on. And all of a sudden, we're 20 minutes into the service and you're like, where's he at now? Or we're worshiping and we're just mouthing the words. We're worshiping the creator of heaven and earth. Let's not forget that. And I'm not picking on anyone here. I'm speaking to myself as well. That I need to be attentive. That the focus is all about him. It's really not about me. And the awesome thing, the amazing thing to me is, when my attention is focused upon him, he speaks to me. He meets me where I'm at. But what happens is when my attention is off of him and it's on everything that's going on in my life, nothing gets accomplished. And I feel worse. Those are lessons we need to learn. I mean, I look at the children of Israel and I go, man, you saw the miraculous power of God in your life. How could you forget about him? And then God says, hey, Joe, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and I saved you. But you forget about me. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Lord. And God doesn't do this to condemn us. He does it to make us aware so we can draw close to him. Do you really think, as you look at this world, that things are totally out of control? Because if you do, you're missing the point. God's in total control. He's already warned us what's going to happen. So why should we be fearful? We should be like, Lord, it's horrible out there. You know it. It's dark. Lord, empower me to have a boldness to shine for you in such a way that lives are transformed. You see the perspective? I mean, we look at this world and go, oh, it is so evil. No one wants to hear about Jesus anymore in this country. It's not like the 70s where, you know, we had the Jesus movement and everyone, all these hippies are getting saved. People are getting saved left and right. We don't see that happening today. You know what you're saying? God is either dead or he's asleep or he doesn't care. Are you kidding me? When the children of Israel were looking at that Red Sea wondering how they were going to get through it, it was hopeless. When we look at this world, we see the mess it's in, even in this nation. It's hopeless. We forgot one factor. It's the God factor. And when you factor God into the situation, nothing is hopeless. I don't give up. I look up some of my family who are not saved. I think, oh, they don't even want to hear from me anymore about this. You think I'm going to give up on them? Do you think I'm going to say, well, Oive, that's it. They're lost. No, because God can do amazing things. And I will pray until they take their last breath that they get saved. And it can happen, and it does happen. I don't care how dark situations may be, so how hopeless they may look, God is in the business of doing miracles in our lives. And the biggest miracle, you are dead and now alive in Christ. So can he do more than that? Absolutely. He created the heavens and the earth. He's created the billions upon billions upon billions of stars that are out there. And he knows them all by name. So do you think when he looks at your life, he's like, wow, Joe, man, I don't even know what I can do anymore for you. You see, we kind of laugh and chuckle at that because it seems ridiculous. But what happens when we're in the middle of a situation like that? And we really think, God, there's no hope anymore. It's over. It's not. You pray. You seek direction from the Lord. You see? You take a good look at your life when you're in the midst of something really bad, and you look back. Go, wow, Lord, you delivered me from that situation over there. And there's no reason why you can't deliver me now. And I'll just wait upon you to direct me, to guide me, to deliver me. And it brings comfort, peace, joy to your life when you understand that. I think There are so many distractions in our lives today. You know, when I was growing up, there were no cell phones. We were outside. We were always doing things, right? But today, there's all, and I was really bad at this because I would always have my rock and roll playing all the time. And I wouldn't even think about God. I wasn't saved. There were so many distractions. But what about now that we're Christians? I love my cell phone. Though I don't really love it that way, but I like my cell phone, okay? Because I'm able to get church phone calls when I'm anywhere, okay? I shouldn't let you know before I leave for Phoenix or Tempe that you can get a hold of me. But yeah, the church phone rings onto my phone. I could do prayer requests for my phone. I have the ability to do that. That's a positive thing, but it can also be a negative. And you have to be careful. Technology is not evil. It's how we use it. And we could get so distracted from God and what he wants to say to us. I mean, do we ever just turn off everything and just think about God and what he wants to do in our lives? No music, no TV, no radio, no nothing. We just say, Lord, I'm just coming before you. Show me what you want me to do. I mean, I'm excited about going to Arizona and teaching at this prophecy conference. And the reason being is, as I was praying about what to teach, it's like, Lord, I don't know. You know, what do you teach on prophecy? You can go anywhere, right? And the Lord gave me the whole outline. I was like, wow, that is awesome. And it's so exciting. But what if I was just doing all these other things and I wasn't listening to what he was trying to say to me? Can I block him out? Yes. Forgetting what he wants to do in my life. And that's what I'm encouraging you this morning. Be open. Spend some time reading his word, just listening to what he's showing you. Some of you have to make some decisions in your life. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Do you want me to take this job? Do you want me to go over here? Direction God will give you. But we tend to put him on the back burner, forgetting about him and focus on the situation. And I guarantee it just never works out as well than being directed by God. Remember King Hezekiah? He was a godly king in the southern kingdom of Judah. And the Lord told Isaiah, one of the prophets in his day, go tell Hezekiah it's time to go home. You're going to die. So Isaiah comes back, tells Hezekiah, get your house in order. The Lord said, you're going to die. And Hezekiah's like, oh my God, I don't want to die. Lord, no, got so much more to do. I don't want to do it. And God said, fine, I'll give you 15 more years. I think in retrospect, if Hezekiah was able to see where this was going to lead, he would have said, I'll go now. Because during those 15 years, he allowed some of the Babylonians to come in. He showed them all the kingdom, all the wealth of the kingdom. He also had a son named Manasseh born during those 15 years. Manasseh was the most wicked king in the southern kingdom of Judah. Because of all the sin, he brought in the offering of the children to the god Molech, all the worship of Baal, so much so that God said, judgment's coming because of what Manasseh had done. Interesting. Sometimes we fight. Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this. Finally, you get it. It's not good. Got to be sensitive to what the Lord is showing us. I remember, and this is probably some 30 years ago back in Illinois, there was a couple in the church, Pastor Phil was telling me about, that they wanted to move to California. This was before California was like it is today. They actually wanted to move there. And the Lord kept closing the door. They tried selling their house. All the houses around them were selling. Their house did not sell. And they were getting angry at God. God, why are you doing this? Our house isn't selling. Their house finally did sell. They moved to California and they ended up getting divorced. I don't think that was the perfect will of God for their lives. I think it was to remain right where they were at. God kept closing every single door and they kept pushing it down. And that's what we need to be careful about, because sometimes we think we know what's right. I guarantee you, we don't. God does. He sees the whole picture. Sometimes, I guarantee you, if I can take an easy way, I'm going to do it, right? I mean, how many of you want to take the really most difficult path? I don't. Show me the easy way. But God says, sometimes you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't want to go there. But the shepherd's leading me, and I need to go down that path. That's where I need to be. You see the difference, guys? Being directed by God, God is going to take us places we would never go on our own. I guarantee you. If God had shown me everything that I would have to go through coming up here to Wisconsin, I probably would have never done it. It wouldn't be worth it, I would think, in my rational mind, because I'm not looking for difficulty. I want it easy. So God doesn't tell us everything that's going to happen. But when they do happen, he's the one who's leading us. Where? Through the valley, or the shadow of the valley of death, to the mountaintop, right? That's where he's taking us. Why? Because on the mountaintop, there's rest. We can get refreshed. And then what does he do? We have to go back down again, because that's where we grow. You know, we get refreshed on the mountaintop, but we grow in the valley. That's where people are at in the valley. That's where they're hurting. That's where we meet their needs. And as they see the joy in our lives as we follow our shepherd, hopefully it will help them to come to that saving faith. We need to be men and women who remember God. We need to be men and women who let the whole world know about our God, and we need to be men and women who remember and see God, see what he's done in our lives. Because you know what? That will cause us to walk by faith. And in the days we're living in, we can shine brightly for Jesus. Because that's really what it's about. Remember God. Don't forget him. Don't take him out of the picture. Don't ever think that your problem is beyond his ability to bring you through. Now, he may bring you through in a way you may not have wanted. But he will see you through every single circumstance. Because he loves us that much. And he's trying to help us to grow. And faith is like a muscle, and it has to be exercised to grow. If any of you did weightlifting or sports or running, you realize that it's a real pain. For me, I love to race, but I don't like to run, which doesn't make any sense. But you have to run. You have to be in shape. There was a guy, and I was watching the, another side note here, I was watching the Olympic trials for the marathon yesterday. And I know some of you think that has got to be the most boring thing. They're running for 26 miles and you're watching that. It was the most awesome thing. And one of the runners that made it, the top three only make it to the Olympics, was a woman who never ran a marathon before in her life. And she came in second place. I was like, wow. And then they started talking about a guy from Alaska years ago who made it to the Olympics only training on a treadmill. Like, you gotta be kidding me. All those miles on a treadmill. Yeah. What were they doing? They were stretching their muscles. They were increasing their strength. That's what God does as we go through various trials in our lives. He's stretching our faith. He's getting us to trust in him more and more each and every day. And it's really a hard thing to do. Because you got to say, okay, Lord, I'm taking my hands off. I'm letting you drive my life. You know, years ago I told you there was a bumper sticker that said, God is my co-pilot. I do not want him as my co-pilot. I want him to be the pilot of my life. Because if he's the co-pilot, then what am I, the pilot? And you know how I get lost. That's just a dangerous thing. I can't imagine being up in the skies trying to find my way. Oh, my gosh. He is the pilot of our lives. Let him guide you. I'll tell you, when it's not always easy, but there's tremendous joy in seeing the hand of God working in your life. And you look back, maybe in the midst of the situation, you don't see it, but you look back and go, wow, Lord, I see your hand right there. Remember God. Don't forget him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these lessons. And Lord, I pray, I'm sure there's some here that needed to hear that. I needed to hear that, Lord. Just to trust in you, to remember you each and every single day. Because Lord, you are always guiding us. And Lord, our faith is seen as others look. And we can testify of you as as Deborah and Barak were singing in this song, that letting everyone know about you and the work that you've done in delivering the children of Israel from their bondage. And Lord, just remembering how you've taken us through so many difficult times in the past and how you're going to take us through all the difficult times we are facing now and in the future. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding, and we thank you for that, Lord. Help us, empower us by your Spirit to bring your word to the people of this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.